All right, so as we transition here to the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico Racecourse, we talk about horse racing here. We talk about the second leg of the Triple Crown with Brian Blessing, the host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. Brian, before we get into this race, I have to ask, you and I talked after the Kentucky Derby. I want you to tell our listeners here, was that the right call to DQ Maximum Security at Churchill Downs?
Well, if you watched our Kentucky Derby video, which a lot of people did have, that thing got a lot of eyeballs. That was fun. Maximum Security was my top pick for the Derby. Maximum Security won the race. It cost me money. 5 minutes after they started looking at it, I looked at my wife and said, the horse is coming down. And it was the right call. And, you know, people that don't know anything about horse racing chiming in, well, listen. The one thing at the end of the day, the thing I got an issue with was them suspending Luis Saez 15 days. That's ridiculous. You know, you cut somebody off, you get suspended. He should have got like 3 days. They gave him 15 days. 15 days is like reckless riding. Yes, that could have been a Talladega car accident, but it was nothing that Saez did. The horse kind of bolted because he got spooked by the crowd noise at the top of the stretch. It's happened in the Derby forever and a day. The difference was there were 20 or 10 of them within four lengths of one another at the top of the stretch. Did he interfere with War of Will? Yes, he did. But by extension, War of Will then went out, and the horse that was egregious was Long Hot Toddy. That horse got wiped out. Case closed. It was a foul. And then on top of it, I can't put myself in their shoes to have that exhilaration and then that heartbreak. But I think the connections for Maximum Security, it's like they're taking the toys and going home. This horse would have to fall down to lose this race. Literally, I mean, the Preakness, a mile and 3/16. It's a shorter race. He's got the speed, and he throttled the newcomers, and he already beat the four that are running now. And if he'd have run, he'd have scared some of them away. And they're saying, well, we don't have to now because the Triple Crown's not on the line to bring the horse back in 2 weeks. They got to hurt the horse. He had a 5-week layoff. He's in as good a shape as he's ever going to be. And this race, he'd win for fun. And now if they rest him and bring him back into Belmont, I'd really question that because we've seen a lot of horses race a mile and a half, a distance they'll never run again. Why would you put the horse through that when he'd come in here, win this, and then shut him down? So I'm really shocked that they're not running Maximum Security here because he'd be a stickout.
All right, so as we look at this race here again, this is in the Baltimore, Maryland area. Looks like maybe a chance of some rain on Friday. Beautiful day Saturday. I feel like this might be the first time this race has been run in nice conditions in several years. I don't know, maybe it's just some recency bias for me, but feels like every year it rains for this thing. Looks like we're going to get some good weather, which obviously does impact the handicap of these horse races. The Kentucky Derby track looked pretty sloppy. Maybe it wasn't as bad, in person as it was on TV. But as we look at the Preakness here, Brian, let's start with this race overall, because you mentioned it already, 1 3/16 of a mile. So this is the shortest of the Triple Crown races here. What do you think about that? I mean, how does that impact your handicap?
Well, in full disclosure, we're doing this just prior to the post position draw. So I think we can have a lot of good information here, and we'll see. But I don't think post positions in this race are that massively critical. You'd eliminate horses in the Derby because of the post position draw. The mile and 3/16, it's a shorter distance. This is more in the wheelhouse of what these horses run regularly. The one thing I would say to you, what is the difference? Going back to the Maximum Security thing, the horse that got interfered with was War of Will. And I couldn't understand on that day why Tyler Gaffney on the jockey on War of Will, the horse who was initially hit, didn't claim foul. Country House's jockey, Pratt, claimed foul, and nothing happened to him. He was trying to buy the race. But the reason the horse came down was because John Cord on Long Hot Toddy claimed foul, and he got wiped out. But War of Will didn't claim foul. And I'm like, why? And you watch that race, yeah, Maximum Security kind of cut War Will off, and athletically, he didn't go down. But then they cleared, and War Will was whatever, a length and a half behind Maximum Security. He flattened out. So when he didn't claim foul, Jeff Leone was basically telling you the horse couldn't get the distance, and he wasn't going to win the race. So he didn't claim foul. So now it's a shorter distance, and yeah, maybe that helps War of Will's cause. And I think War of Will's going to take an inordinate amount of money because he was the horse that Maximum Security beat. But I think there were chinks in the armor. Now, again, a lot of this, like you mentioned, that was a soup kitchen, and this is a fast track, and a lot of horses could take a big step forward on the fast track. But I think War of Will's, even though he was in contention and right there, the way he packed it in late, to me, means there's chinks in the armor there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when we talked about the Kentucky Derby, you kind of look for these little intricacies, these complexities, these, you know, sort of reading the tea leaves kinds of things about, you know, which horse the jockey is picking, you know, if you've got the trainer-jockey combination that you're used to seeing that you would expect to see, you know, does the stable strong arm the trainer and pick their own jockey? You know, we sort of look for all of those little types of things. But as you mentioned, the idea that War of Will, you know, didn't go and ask for a review of that race, like you said, kind of makes you wonder how much did that horse have? And obviously we'll see if it runs in the Belmont, but with the Belmont being the long race, obviously you'd probably look to fade a horse like War of Will in matchups or something like that if this horse does decide to go. Now, War of Will is the second favorite here, at least until we get the post draw later on today. The favorite is not a surprise to anybody. It's improbable. It's the Mike Smith, Bob Baffert combination. I think the bigger question here, Brian, is how big of a favorite does Improbable become after the post draw simply with that Smith and Baffert combination that everybody is familiar with?
Yeah, it's connections. You know, by the way, that little subplot you talked with jockeys, that was one of the things we talked about in the Derby, that John Velasquez, the jockey, was telling you the live horse was Code of Honor because he wasn't riding for Todd Pletcher. And, you know, so again, you got to read between the lines on a daily basis in horse racing. And you're right. I mean, simply put, Baffert and Mike Smith, this horse is going to take a ton of dough. He's got the running style that suits this race to a T. He said just off the pace and could get first run at the pace setters in this race. I think you're probably, albeit the fractions are a lot slower in his race, is one of the new shooters here, always mining on paper, always goes to the front, but his fractions are 24 for a quarter, 48 for a half mile. That's just not going to be the case here. There's no way in a race of this caliber. I mean, the half's going to be, you know, 40, I would think 46 at least. Someone could get stupid and go 45, but I do think Improbable will be positioned perfectly at the top of the stretch and have a big shot. But it comes down to, is the horse good enough? And I'm telling you, Adam, in the Rebel, 40 is an odds on favorite, 40 cents, 40 cent favorite, second by a net. Arkansas Derby, second by a length. Kentucky Derby, they're ready to fire a shot. Ram just kind of plodded home. Ran fifth. You got to go back. This horse, all his great races are in California. The road trips have not treated it. I mean, the horse fires a shot every time, and you absolutely have to use the horse in exotics. But at the moment, I'm looking at this horse going, he doesn't like to win.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing, too. You know, I mean, we kind of talk about it in a lot of sports where, you know, young teams have to learn how to win. You know, they can compete, but they have to learn how to win. They have to learn how to finish off games. Again, as you mentioned, you know, this horse has been in a favorite role several times over, including the Kentucky Derby, and hasn't gotten to the window consistently as a winner anyway.
Yeah. I mean, consistent, but no excuses, right? He's just not kicking the door down.
So here's the question. I mean, is you know, Mike Smith the thing that can put Improbable over the top?
Sure. I mean, my, you know, the best money rider on the planet, changing jockey on a daily basis can be a big angle. I mean, absolutely. There's no way you can't have improbable on your ticket in exotics. But at the moment, I'm sitting there, this horse has a bad case of secunditis.
And it's like
I
you
think
would
he's
call.
In there. Yeah, exactly. You know, but I do. The thing is, though, the difference with the golf thing is, and I think just back to that stupid thing for a second, all you got to do is hit 180 to one shot, and you got a free roll for the year. You know, but the secunditis thing's a thing. It, after a while, it becomes frustrating. It frustrates me. It, you know, you think Bob Baffert doesn't get frustrated when he's got the horse tuned up, and then he has this. And there's a, you know, you think about it. Horses are nut bars. Some of them are smart. Some of them are dumb. Some of them are calm. Some of them are professional. Some of them get skittish. But they are creatures of habit. You know, that's what trainers are always trying to get them and put them in the position to succeed, and they're creatures of habit. Some horses will stare another horse down when they're running. They're going 35 miles an hour with 200 yards to go in a race. Some of these horses literally look at the other horse right in the eyeballs and rip the heart right out of his chest. And improbable kind of likes to run alongside horses. He doesn't like to stick his neck out and win the thing. He's a creature of habit.
All right, so we talked about the two favorites here, at least before the post-draw, and I don't think anything changes here based on the post-draw. We should have Improbable and War of Will at the top of the board, then kind of everybody else on down from there. Before we look at any other specific horses, I want to ask you about this. Another Twist of Fate, Always Mining, Owendale, Signalman, Bourbon War. I don't know how you don't run a horse named Bourbon War in the Kentucky Derby. Laughing Fox, Everfast, Warrior's Charge, and Market King. All horses expected to go in the Preakness here that did not run in the Kentucky Derby. So what does that mean to you when you have a horse coming off of the Kentucky Derby as opposed to one that isn't?
Well, I mean, believe me, Bourbon War wanted to run at the Kentucky Derby. It just didn't have the points required. Now, if you want to make a case for Bourbon War, and I understand anybody who does, and again, this happens on a daily basis in horse racing, is, you know, the company they keep and the class moving up and down in class. But the other thing you want to find are key races. You know, that was a key race, and it's in the racing form. You look and say, if you're looking at a past performance for a horse, and you see other horses that are in where you finish first, second, or third, and you look at the other horses, if the other horses that finish second or third are italicized, that means they came back and won their next race. So you can always look at that and say, well, that was a key race. And you should give that horse and that race extra credence. Well, here's Bourbon War coming off the shelf, March 30th, the last race. Well, let's see, who ran in that race? Oh, Maximum Security won the race. Oh, Maximum Security won the Kentucky Derby. Oh, Bodie Express was second in that race. Oh, look, Code of Honor was in the Florida Derby. Oh, Code of Honor finished third in the Kentucky Derby. Neither of those horses are running in this race. So based on the key race aspect of the Florida Derby alone, you best be looking at Bourbon War.
All right, so let's look at some of these other ones coming off the Kentucky Derby. And again, you go now from 20 horses to, it looks like we'll probably have 12 or so in this race, maybe 11 or 12, something like that, depending on how these horses get through this week and training. And obviously we had some late scratches for the Kentucky Derby as well. So that's certainly a possibility. It's a good thing we didn't spend too much time on Omaha Beach in our Kentucky Derby podcast, since he was scratched, what, 4 or 5 hours after we finished it.
I didn't like him. The funny thing is, I didn't like him. I like Maximum Security better than him. And the minute Omaha Beach was out, it was Maximum Security's race to lose.
So War of Will and Improbable here, coming back off the Kentucky Derby. The other two that are doing so, Win Win Win, who I know you liked in the Kentucky Derby, and Bodie Express, as you mentioned, who did finish 13th in the Kentucky Derby. So what about those other two, Win 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 and Bodie Express? How about them this week?
I'm drawing a line through Bodie Express. I don't think the horse is good enough. Win Win Win, and this may sound, might be a bit of an oxymoron here, but because I had said, I thought that War of the win was, I thought, a gut cinch to be in the top four or five in the Derby because he just runs every time. And I come right back with this horse because I'm just going to go on the prayer. He didn't like the track because he raced pretty evenly. He didn't do anything great. He didn't do anything bad. But don't forget, this horse's best races were in Maryland, albeit at Laurel. So a fast track, win, shorter distance. I mean, I thought win would be a lot closer because the Belmont, the pace is a lot slower, and he just sustains his run all the time. I don't know that they bring him back, and we'll see what happens here. But I would give win, I thought, would have a big shot in the Belmont. And I'm thinking he has a monster shot here that he didn't take to the track at Churchill Downs. And even though it's a shorter distance, it's a smaller field. He'll have less navigating through traffic. And I think win fires the shot I was hoping for in the Kentucky Derby. And I think win. Is right at the top of my ticket. I'm torn between he and a fresh shooter, but win, I think, comes flying late in this race.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, Julian Pimentel and what, you know, we talked about this prior to the Kentucky Derby, about the, you know, pairing that he has with the horse and with Michael Trombetta here, you know, and he's going back to Pimentel. You know, I mean, it wasn't a great run in the Derby, but he's sticking with his guy. And I think that kind of says something here too, especially with, you know, Pimentel's, you know, familiarity with this, with these Maryland race courses.
You nailed it. I mean, Calvin Burrell, right? That was insane for a 5-year run. Hugging the rail. Calvin Burrell knew where every speck of dirt was on the surface of Churchill Downs. And based on, I mean, my God, he booted Mind That Bird home, right? I mean, the jockey is one of the keys here. You go, well, it's Julian Pimentel. Well, all these guys are showing up at Pimlico for a day. This is his home track. So, you know, I loved win in the Kentucky Derby, and then you got the track the way it came up. I think win sitting on a monster race, bud. And you nailed it. I think Pimentel's a positive, not a negative here.
All right, so you're looking at win, and I think we made a pretty compelling case for that. You mentioned that you're looking at a new shooter here, so I presume that's somebody who wasn't in the Kentucky Derby. What else are you looking at?
Well, I think of the new ones that are showing up, and part of it is the trainer. But, boy, part of it, there's two, one of two things can happen. And that this horse runs nowhere. It's called a bounce off of just a monster career best effort. And sometimes horses just regress. Or Brad Cox figured something out with Owendale. And that race in the Lexington, the Grade 3 event at Keeneland, is eye-popping. And won the race with ease. It was a Grade 3 event on April 13th. The middle move this horse made, Adam, was spectacular. And he put up a 98 buyer figure. All right, and you're sitting there, and we're looking at, in fact, I want to double-check this as we're doing this. In the the Florida Derby, the buyer was a 90. I'm looking at improbable. All right, improbable, let's say it's probably going to be the favorite, right? We agree with that with the Baffert, Smith case. Improbable put up a 96 buyer in the Kentucky Derby. That buyer figure is telling you this was not a great crop of three-year-olds. So the buyer figure for Owendale is better than Improbable's coming off his last race. And it was coming off a significant layoff. Owendale is fresh. And if this horse improves off that last race, I think he can win this race by 3 lengths. That's how impressive that middle move was. He could regress. He could bounce. I'm more inclined to think this trainer, and they're three-year-olds, they change overnight. I think Brad Cox finally got this horse tuned up to what he wanted him to be, but it wasn't in time to get him in the Kentucky Derby. If he repeats the race he ran at Keeneland, I'm telling you, I think Owendale's the horse.
interesting. And you know, you look at that race there, the Lexington Stakes. I mean, you know, you had another Twist of Fate who's also in this race. Javier Castellano was in the irons for that one. I'm not sure if he's going to be here for the Preakness, but you know, you had a pretty strong field of jockeys and trainers there in that race. And Owen Dale did come through. Same jockey here with Florent Giroux. I think you're onto something there. And you know what else, too, is that, you know, putting Owen Dale with somebody like Improbable or somebody like Win-Win-Win, you know, in those exotics. I mean, yeah, Improbable is probably going to go off as the favorite. Will probably go off as a pretty low price favorite at that. But Owen Dale is probably going to be, what, 8 or 10 to 1 maybe? So, you know, you get a nice little payback there on your exotics.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. There's always like a buzz horse or, you know, the sharp horse or whatever they want to call it. It's not going to shock me if this is that horse. I would love
You called that with Maximum Security, too. You thought Maximum Security had closed the favorite, wound up closing the second favorite. But I think when we talked about it, it was, what, 8 or 10 to 1 at that point in time?
It was that was a bad morning line. I for the life of me, that's what I said in the video. I don't know, what are they looking at? What am I missing here? I mean, the horse had the, you know, once Omaha Beef was out, he had the two races with buyer figures over 100 and won the Florida Derby, and they had the horse at 10 to 1. That was just a bad number. And then, of course, it would have been interesting if Omaha Beach had stayed in to see, you know, where the money would have gone. But the Derby was that kind of race where the favorite was going to be 4 to 1. It's that kind of group. It's that evenly matched. And I don't think there's any spectacular horse, which to me even gives more credence to an Owen Dale that so many times they just can't get the horse tuned up in time. It's all about peaking on the first Saturday in May. And then some great horses just don't get it together in time for that. And then, now, this horse can run mid-pack and not even get a call. But it also could be the kind of, with this Owen Dale, in the back half of the three-year-old campaign, this Owen Dale could end up being the best bunch of a lot because they improve and change overnight. And I love the trainer. Brad Cox is terrific. But, I mean, you sit here and you watch, you look at, read the form, and you do this. Your eyes are the best tool you have. And I watched that race, the Lexington. And he made a move, you know, going into the far turn. You know, but the chart says he was ninth by 7.5 lengths. I got news from you. In that middle move, he went from 7.5 lengths back to the lead in about 100 yards. I mean, he went by the horses. You know, it was like Giroux was riding a motorcycle. And then he just, you know, he won the race at the top of the stretch, and no one was coming at him. So, I mean, that 98 figure, if he was pressed and had to ride him even harder at the end of the race, would have been an even better number. So, and the crazy thing is, it's the second race off the shelf. I'm more inclined to think he shows even improvement off of that race. And if he does, I think he's the horse. I really think, you nailed it, I think it's Owen Dale, win, 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 and Improbable. And I'm going to be hard-pressed to find anything other than that.
One last thing I want to ask you about here real quickly. I know we've run a little bit long. I want to make sure I let you go here. But Brad Cox has two horses in this thing. The other one is Warrior's Charge. Javier Castellano going to be up in the irons for this one. And you know, I always wonder about that. You know, we're used to seeing Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher have multiple horses in a race. Here it's Brad Cox, a guy that you do like as a trainer, kind of a younger guy relative to the ages of the other trainers that are out there. So he's got Giroux on one and Castellano on the other. So what do you think about that? I mean, does that sort of tell you anything?
Well, I can cite some great examples that two of the best scores I've ever gotten were trainers who had multiple horses in the race and always playing the other one. And go way back to Thunder Gulch. Bob Baffert, his first Triple Crown win, Indian Charlie was the star. Watch out for Indian Charlie, the Derby favorite. Baffert's other horse, Real Quiet, won the race at a price. So, yeah, no, you always take that into account. And, you know, I'm convinced Owen Dale's the better of the two, but I would not discount the other. just on the premise that I believe in the trainer, who he's not throwing his horse in there for chuckles. I mean, you give the horse credence to me because of the connections. But from what I've seen, Owendale's the one.
Well, make sure you check out Brian Blessing's Preakness Stakes preview video over on our Bang the Book YouTube page. You'll have that after the post positions are drawn. I'll have previews over at bangthebook.com for the Preakness and the Black Eyed Susan Stakes. Again, waiting on the Preakness draw for that coming up here this afternoon. But, Brian, it's always a pleasure, man. I always enjoy chatting with you here about golf, horse racing, hockey, whatever it is we talk about. I'm sure you're talking about all those things on your two radio shows on KSHB.
Yep, Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline, noon to 2, KSHP.com. Follow me on Twitter, Brian Blessing. I'll put the shows out there as well. But there's a lot on the plate, bud. I mean, it's a Stanley Cup, NBA, baseball, Triple Crown, a golf major, Women's World Cup's coming, training camps are coming, football season, win totals we're going to do. And what we're already doing as well on a weekly basis, we're doing a couple of division previews a week on the videos here at Bang the Book. Check out, we did regular season win totals already for the AFC East and NFC East. Those are already up at Bang the Book, and we'll be doing those division previews too in the weeks to come. So you would think it's a downtime, Adam, but I mean, this industry has really changed now with all the offerings and things that are available to us. There is no such thing as a downtime of year anymore.
No, there isn't. We're 2 weeks away. I think 2 weeks and a day away from College Football Games of the Year lines coming up at Golden Nugget as well. So that'll just add another thing for us to talk about. It's pretty much never ending here in this business. But Brian Blessing, one of the best at doing it, KSHP.com, at Brian Blessing on Twitter. Appreciate the time as always, bud. Thank you so much, man. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Adam. One of these days, kid, the next time you come out here, bring the six.
All right, sounds good. There you go. There's Brian Blessing and Sportsbook Radio, Vegas Hockey Hotline, KSHP.com, where you can find those. Coming up on Thursday, I'll have a new edition of the Bettors Box, our MLB betting podcast. So I'll be able to chat with you about some Major League Baseball stuff. Friday, Christian Pina on US. Next Monday, the Bettors Box with a Monday mailbag. So plenty of stuff to look forward to here on Bang the Book Radio. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.